Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Dan and Julie, for those stimulating remarks. What I want to talk about now is something slightly different. I want to bring into the dialogue an introduction of the science of teams into the work of team science. And what I mean by the science of teams is a field of inquiry that's been around for several decades now that has been trying to understand the phenomena of teamwork and how it exists in various organizations. So I'm going to start out with a simple premise, this idea that interdisciplinarity is really at its core teamwork. And then I'm going to introduce some meta-level issues and talk about task theory, training theory, and technology theory, and describe their relevance to this burgeoning field of team science. So when I say interdisciplinary is teamwork, what I mean is that interdisciplinarity is not just a scientific activity, it's at its core a team activity. It's a coordinated scientific team that was working to achieve some goal. And that's a simple statement, but it's an important statement because teamwork has long existed outside of science. And by teamwork, what I mean is this idea that we have two or more people who are interacting dynamically and interdependently and adaptively towards some shared goal. And so in other areas of inquiry, such as in organizations, in the military, and politics, we've had teamwork going on for a very long time now. And what they do is they bring people together to try and understand and solve some problem that an individual could not solve on their own. And importantly, they do so while only maintaining partially overlapping knowledge. And that's really what we're talking about when we talk about interdisciplinary teamwork. And I suggest that we reframe this notion of interdisciplinarity as an idea of teamwork. It's a process of teamwork that needs to be mastered. And if we do that, then the problem of interdisciplinarity becomes much more tractable. That is, there's an entire science of teams that already exists, and I suggest that we can adapt that science to team science research and improve the process of scientific teamwork. And what you see up here is kind of a westernized version of the science of teamwork. As Bill said earlier, we tend to carve these ideas into taxonomies, and this is a useful heuristic, I think, to conceptualize the science of teams. And after decades of research, what we know about teams is that they think, they feel, and they do. That is, there's cognitive activity within teams, there's affective and attitudinal activity within teams, and there is behavioral activities within teams. And I could spend many hours talking about each of these subcomponents up there, but I put this up there because, again, it's a useful heuristic to think about what happens within teams. That is, the dynamic that emerges within teams. The cognitive or knowledge level activity, the attitudinal or affective activity, and the behavioral activity. And while I set these up as separate, as Bill pointed out, they're actually tightly integrated and quite interdependent. But we use these heuristics to help us get a sense of what's going on within teams. But I don't want to talk about each one of these. What I want to do is bring up some of these meta-level issues that I think are going to be important for the burgeoning field of team science. So I want to introduce some ideas about task theory. I want to introduce some ideas about training theory and technology theory because I think they will impact the degree to which cognition, affect, and behaviors manifest in the context of team science. So first, this idea of a task theory. We've heard the term context come up quite a bit already this morning in our first three presentations, and this really gets at one of the elements of context. And I suggest that an important research issue is to think about how a theory of task can help us unpack what happens within the context of scientific teams. And the reality is, when we talk about team science, we're essentially encompassing a tremendous variety of tasks. We have team science occurring in the life sciences, we have it occurring in the physical sciences, in the social and environmental sciences. And without a theory of task to help us unpack these different forms of scientific problems, we really will not be able to get a clear handle on these interaction patterns that have to do with attitudes, cognition, and behaviors within science teams. So this has both theoretical and practical significance. Understanding the influence of task on scientific productivity will expand our knowledge associated with how these different types of problems alter interaction patterns. It has practical significance because if we come to a better understanding of the influence of task on scientific teams, we're going to be able to develop better interventions that can support team science. Well, and when trying to think about how a theory of task for science teams can be developed, there are some that I've relied on in my own research. So we can talk about this notion of task complexity as a theoretical contribution to team science. And this came out of the organizational sciences. Wood talked about this notion of component complexity and coordinate complexity. And I introduced them because these are really important abstractions to help us conceptualize scientific teamwork. Component complexity has to do with the number of variables or the number of distinct acts that need to be addressed to solve a particular problem. Coordinate complexity has to do with the degree to which these task elements need to be integrated in some way. And I present these as discrete phenomena when in fact they're really continuum, and these are actually orthogonal constructs. And when you begin to think about the number of problem elements that need to be addressed, and when you begin to think about the degree to which those elements need to be integrated, you can see how we can begin to map out the problem space associated with scientific teamwork. And I submit that our understanding of these different types of task variables are going to be important contributions to how we can think about the attitudes, behaviors, and cognitions within scientific teams. Another important theoretical component, I think, is this idea of task structure. Coming out of the cognitive sciences, where Herb Simon started to talk about ill-structured versus well-structured problems and how these problem contexts influence cognition, was a kind of a watershed moment within cognitive science because it helped us understand the different cognitive processes that emerge based upon the nature of the problem context. And one of my favorite theories having to do with task structure would be Campbell's notion of multiple paths and the degrees of uncertainty. So we can think about problems that have a number of distinct paths that can be followed in search of a solution, and we can think about problems that have differential amounts of uncertainty associated with those task paths. So those of you that are practicing scientists, you can reflect upon this and think about the types of problems that you solve as you lay out a research plan. You recognize that there are multiple paths that you could follow in search of that solution, and what these task constructs help us do is begin to map out how we can think about scientific problems along these abstract lines. Because when we begin to parse this problem space and think about the ambiguity associated with these paths, and we think about the number of possible paths, we can begin to map out the relationship between these task context factors and how those are going to interact with the attitudes, behaviors, and cognitions associated with scientific teamwork. Next, I want to introduce some concepts from training theory that I think are important to help develop this field of team science. So at its core, this research issue has to do with the interdisciplinary nature of science teams and how that necessitates a better understanding of the particular competencies associated with scientific teamwork. And from the theoretical and practical level, we can think about how competencies help us unpack the science of teams. So first, at the theoretical level, we need to develop a framework of particular competencies that help us understand the relationships that unfold in teamwork. So we need to look at the competencies that support particular interaction patterns and group dynamics within science teams. And at the practical level, to the degree that we can develop a framework of teamwork competencies for scientific teams, we'll be able to develop better training strategies and pedagogies that will support the development of the next generation of scientists that will be working in science teams. So some useful constructs here. Jan Kannenbauer and colleagues a number of years ago talked about a framework of competencies that has to do with generic and specific team and task competencies. So team generic and team specific competencies have to do with ones that are transportable across teams or ones that only apply in specific teams. Similarly, they talked about task competencies, that is, those kinds of competencies that are specific to particular tasks and those that are transportable across other forms of tasks. And when you begin to think about these different forms of competencies, you can similarly match along the knowledge, skills, and aptitudes and attitudes that come with teamwork and think about how competencies need to be related to team interaction patterns. So we can talk about context-driven competencies within the context of teamwork. That is, we can talk about competencies that are specific to particular tasks and to specific teams. So at the knowledge level, we can think about team objectives. At the skills level, we can think about analyzing goals. At the attitudinal level, we can think about collective efficacy. But we can, at the opposite end, we can talk about transportable competencies. That is, these are competencies that are generic to the team and the task. So assertiveness, that's a transportable competency that's going to be applicable in just about any team or task context. Similarly, you can look at the other diagonal and think about team contingent and task contingent competencies. And my idea with introducing this here is the science of teams needs to begin to think about what are the transportable, what are the context-driven competencies that emerge within scientific teamwork. And from these, we're going to be able to develop more targeted training strategies to effectively improve teamwork as it unfolds in science teams. Last, I want to introduce a theoretical construct that I think is going to inform the development of new technologies to support science teams. And the research issue here is the fact that collaborating science teams rely heavily on the tools in their environment to solve scientific problems. And I submit that from a policy standpoint, we really need to understand how these forms of externalized cognition influence the collective work that unfolds within scientific teams. So at a theoretical and practical level, we can see how this is going to inform this growing field of team science. So we need to understand what I refer to as externalized cognition and how science teams articulate the cognitive artifacts that they produce and how they use these cognitive artifacts to mediate their collective work. At a practical level, if we can understand the relationship between these externalized forms of cognition and the dynamics within teams, we're going to be able to develop better technologies that can support teamwork. And I think Bill's example of a concept map is a perfect example of what I mean by a cognitive artifact. We have this idea that there's this science of team science out there. It's really an abstraction that we're trying to get our heads around. But the concept map is essentially a cognitive artifact that was constructed, created by people who are interested in this phenomena, and that became the means through which our collective activity was mediated. So we use this and refer to this as our, essentially, as the cognitive activity across the group. And this is not a new idea. Cognitive science has been talking about this for a number of years. Zhang and Norman looked at this within the context of problem solving, noting that the problem itself, the cognitive activity associated with that problem, was not just within the head of the problem solver. It was also in conjunction with the environment in which they were interacting, and also mediated through the interactions with other members of a team. So this is referred to, again, as this notion of externalized cognition. It has to do with the structures in the environment, the physical symbols, the objects that are part of the cognitive activity associated with problem solving. In my own work, I've looked at this from the standpoint of how teams build physical manifestations of abstract constructs and how these physical manifestations, that is, these cognitive artifacts, essentially become the model that the team works with when they try to solve problems. So just as some examples, actually here at the University of Chicago, Chris Nemeth in cognitive engineering has been looking at this in emergency rooms and surgical teams and how medical team decision making is facilitated by these forms of cognitive artifacts. So he describes the particular forms of technologies that are developed, things such as schedules and lists and display boards that mediate the collective work that unfolds in these very complex settings. And these artifacts essentially help the team maintain the shared overview of that activity that is distributed across time and space. At a more micro level, we can talk about software that's been developed to support argument construction. So Dan Southard and his colleagues at the University of Pittsburgh and the University of Hawaii have developed the Belvedere software tool, which simulates argumentations. It essentially reifies the abstract process of argumentations through the use of concept maps and evidence maps. And these are just some examples of how we can think about how cognition becomes externalized in service of problem solving. And the idea here is once we come to a better understanding of the intimate relationship between the technologies the team use to solve problems and the productivity associated with those technologies, that is the accuracy of the solutions, the usefulness of the solutions that become generated, we're going to be able to better design technologies to support cognition, behaviors, and attitudes within teams. So just to sum up, I think that the science of team needs to pay careful attention to task variations and how those variations influence the dynamics that unfold within scientific teams. I think we need to pay attention to the particular forms of competencies, that is the generic and the specific competencies at the team and task level, and how those influence the interactions within science teams. And finally, we need to pay particular attention to the fact that cognition is externalized within the context of scientific teamwork, because that's going to help us build better technologies that will support team productivity. And that's it.